RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
To the case brought by For Women Scotland against the Scottish Government over whether trans women can be regarded as female for the purpose of the 2010 Equality Act. Susan Smith is Director for Women Scotland. She joins us all the way from Scotland. Susan, thanks for coming on to our radio program. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Okay, so I always start with this question. Should you even be fighting this? Should this even be something to... Should it even be there? Should it even be a thing?
Well, because it is a thing, we have to fight it. So if we hadn't fought this and fought it all the way up to the Supreme Court, we would now have had a version of self-ID cemented into law in Scotland. And we fought that and won. So the first, we've actually been to court now 5 times.
Wow.
And the first case we took was about the same piece of legislation, and the Scottish Government had tried to define women on the basis of anyone who used a female name or called themselves she, her, and things like that. And we managed to get the Inner Court of Session decided that was not lawful and that was not in accordance with the Equality Act. So that was struck out, and then the Scottish Government went away and said that women, for the purposes of the Equality Act, included anyone who's got one of these gender recognition certificates, which is a certificate you can apply for at any cost, £5 now. You say you've been living in your acquired gender, whatever that means, and you can get this certificate, and they said that then changes your sex for the purposes of the Equality Act. And we felt there were some issues with that in the interpretation of law and how it operates. So if we hadn't fought it, I think we'd have been in a lot of trouble.
I think we have self-ID here, by the way. It, it makes me kind of chuckle that, you know, you can dish out a certificate and that means anything. Well, it's like some sort of school thing.
Yeah, it's really quite mad. And when you look into the historical roots of this, it went back to a time when in the UK there was no same-sex marriage. And so this was passed really to get around bringing same-sex marriage in. So it was quite a homophobic thing to introduce at the time. And it had been, a case had been taken to the European Court of Human Rights, and a couple of transsexuals who felt that they were being denied a right to family life and a right to personal privacy. And this was brought in. But actually, in order to get around this idea of same-sex marriage, it wrote in that their sex had changed by having one of these pieces of paper, which wasn't actually necessary to comply with the terms of the ruling. So it created a huge mess just because they didn't want to do something that they eventually did anyway a few years later.
What is the makeup of the Scottish Government? Are they wokesters? It sounds like they are. Are they? Or are they just trying to, you know, play the sail on the political winds, or they focus grouping? I mean, what are they up to? What sort of people are they?
Well, you know, it's changed a lot. So this piece of legislation that we were fighting came in 2018. And at the time, Nicola Sturgeon was our first minister, and she was very much encouraging this what she would see as a progressive agenda.
She was a disaster, wasn't she? She turned out to be a bit of a disaster. Is that fair to say?
She did. She was brought down by it eventually because, of course, I don't know if you saw there, but they tried to pass the Gender Recognition Reform Act, which would have made self-ID really easy, and you would have been able to use self-ID to get hold of one of these certificates. And they passed it, but then the UK government blocked it. And just as that happened, we ended up with a male rapist being put in a female prison and was caught on camera wearing skin-tight pink leggings, showing off most of his attributes, and a really cheap wig. And Nicola Sturgeon was asked, is this a man or a woman? And she got in a terrible tizzy and kept saying, well, no, that's a rapist. That's a rapist. And he said, okay. Oh, no, no, he's sexist. There's man, woman, and rapist.
It's a new category.
It was one of her suite of policies. And I think as time's gone on and more people in the Scottish Government and the Scottish Parliament have realised what's involved, there's a lot of people backpedalling now. But unfortunately, a lot of this stuff had already been put in.
Could you take us through this latest case, you know, the main points? Who deployed it? Well, that's obviously your group. Who delivered it in court? What are the arguments and how did it go?
Yeah, so as I say, it hinges on whether the specific piece of legislation was about measures for giving quotas for women on public boards. So a very niche bit of legislation. But the Scottish Government's argument when they made the statutory guidance was that that included anyone who's got hold of one of these bits of paper who's biologically male but says they're female.
They've got the certificate,
They've got the certificate.
Framed on their bedroom wall or whatever.
Probably. So we said, well, if that's true, if that's what the Equality Act means when it talks about sex and women, there's a whole host of problems there because you cannot read the Equality Act in a logical fashion if woman means biological women plus anyone who's got one of these certificates. But for a start, one of the times women is referenced in the Equality Act is in relation to pregnancy and maternity. So our argument was that would mean that some biological women who are pregnant are excluded from this category because they might have a certificate going the other way saying they're male. In other areas, there are male people with one of these certificates who are not. And even the Scottish Government admitted that if their reading is correct, much of this act will have to be redrafted. And the EHRC, which is the Equality and Human Rights Commission, who oversee the implementation of it, said in court that this makes the Equality Act inoperable because it's so confusing. Because you end up with, not only do you end up with different categories of women, you also end up with different categories of people who are protected under gender reassignment, which is another protected characteristic.
Mm.
So people who... And what came out in court, it became mad. I mean, some of the discussions were mad, but they were saying, so a biological man who says he's a woman might turn up to a gym and say they want into the women's changing room.
Mm.
And there might be two of them. And one of them doesn't have a piece of paper and one of them does, but they both claim they're women. And the person on the desk who might just be, you know, a 17-year-old with work experience has to work out legal ramifications and which one's allowed in and which one isn't. So it just makes it so messy and complicated that you end up discriminating within lots of different groups anyway. The other thing that was completely mad was a conversation about lesbians.
Oh, yeah.
So the Scottish Government's position was that if a man is attracted to women and he gets hold of one of these certificates, he becomes a lesbian.
Right. Yeah.
If he hasn't got one of those certificates, he is not a lesbian.
Well, you've got to have the certificate.
You've got to have the certificate. So we had a few interveners in our case. And
that is mad.
One of the lesbian groups. And you could feel the rage coming from the other side of the courtroom. They were trying to argue that.
Well, it's kind of Monty Python-esque in a way. It's like so out there that it's in that sort of zone of humour. Surely people can see it for what it is.
Yes, I think they can. And I think, even if we lose now, and I obviously really hope we don't, but even if we lose, the arguments in court have shown how utterly bizarre this whole thing is. And one of the things that was said by the Scottish government and by the EHRC was that lots of laws will have to be redrafted if we lose, because it does make a mockery of the law. So I imagine there are a lot of politicians now who are really, really hoping we win, because they also said that it would impact retroactively. So there are all kinds of laws that have been passed going back years that mention women or men, and they'd all have to be redrafted.
So, which is a huge, mega job, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
no one wants
to
do that.
So I imagine they're all hoping we win, because whatever happens now, somebody is going to have to sort that mess out.
Now, your lawyer is Aidan O'Neill, KC, correct?
That's right, yes.
Talked a bit about this case on a legal program we had, just in a very general roundabout way. So I'm really thrilled that we're able to get more from you, right, on the spot. What were the lawyers facing off? How were they arguing the case? Were they keeping straight faces? Did they look like they were really believing in what they were doing? And maybe other sort of body language and reactions to things have been observed in the court that sort of speaks to maybe how it could go. Though you never know, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to know. Aidan is terrific, KC. He's brilliant. He ran through the whole history of, he was doing a whole history of the patriarchy, which probably seemed a little bit bizarre to some people, but I think he was really trying to make the point that law has been almost institutionally built to disenfranchise and be unfavorable to women. And so his argument was that if you take this reading of the Equality Act, you are going back again to a time when the law was favouring the desires, in this case, of some men to be perceived as women over the rights of women. And that includes, as we say, women who might not feel they're women, who might want to be recognised as men, because actually they end up losing rights if they would then lose all these pregnancy, maternity, etc. rights. So he did this bond, and he did a barnstorming summing up on the final day. It's really hard. I mean, the Scottish government's argument, I did start to feel quite sorry for the Scottish government, KC, because she's doing her job and she's been told by the client to make these arguments. But there was a moment when there was a long section we had about the pregnant man, which again is Monty Python-esque.
It is.
And
they've already done that one.
Yeah, exactly. So they had this long section on the pregnant man. And even as she was arguing that you can have a pregnant man, a journalist back here in Scotland said to the First Minister, John Swinney, "Do you think men can be pregnant?" And he said, "No."
Okay. So he basically
threw his own KC under the bus.
Oh. And maybe not too long ago, there would have been one of those obfuscating answers that, you know, like you were talking about Sturgeon before. And our Prime Minister couldn't even tell us who he thought a woman was. So, okay, so things might have moved a bit.
They might, but it's interesting they're still going to court to make that argument if they no longer believe it, because it almost feels like they felt obligated to defend that position because they'd had that position for so long. But
as a woman, Susan, obviously I can't comment on that because I don't have the certificate. Okay, I don't have the certificate. But as a woman, I don't think men in this area have done themselves any favours, and I'm wondering how women are starting to do. Women perceive this whole transgender thing, and I'm talking mainly male to female, as pure misogyny, as a kind of, I don't know, attempt or effort to disappear women. I mean, think I'm okay in using that term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of it is, and because it's all based around stereotypes of what people think women are. A lot of it is really demeaning. There's a lot of there's quite a big influence, unfortunately, from pornography. And so there's this idea of women being lesser, and they fetishize that, some of them. And I think the other thing is, even if it's not the people who are claiming to be women, some of the supporters have found this brilliant excuse to go out and say, oh, these evil, nasty TERFs, and send death threats to women. And I don't think a lot of them care at all about this issue. I don't think they've got any real interest in the so-called trans debate at all. I think they're just enjoying the fact that there were certain women who had apparently put themselves beyond the pale as far as progressive society was concerned, so that they could go out and be absolutely hideous to women online. And I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of misogyny. And I think this idea that, as I said, KC said, that this is about things that they want, and that's got to take priority over laws that have been drawn up that are about women's safety and privacy and all this sort of thing, things that are quite fundamental.
How do you think it'll go? What's your gut feeling?
It's really hard to know. I think what came through really strongly, and we went to a meeting afterwards with some politicians, and I think it came through really strongly that everybody thinks this is an absurdity. Of course, that still might mean we lose, because the law can be an ass, as we know. So, well, it could
here's
be.
Here's a question, sorry to jump in. Do you have an idea of where, because we've seen this sort of here, biases towards social, issues, let's call it that, of the time, in the judiciary towards supporting these things? Have you got any idea of where the judiciary sits on this? Activist judges, etc., you know.
I don't think we've got an issue with activist judges. I think, and we had five judges for this case because it's the Supreme Court, and I think they tend to be quite conservative with a small c. But whether that will mean they then say this isn't really for the court to rule on, it's up to politicians to sort out a mess that they may have inadvertently created. That's one possibility. The other possibility is they do say that they're going to rule for us on the basis that politicians cannot have intended to create something that's internally contradictory. So I think a lot of it will come down to how far they feel they can interpret the intentions of the politicians who passed the GRA and then the Equality Act, and how those two interact. The GRA was the original Gender Reform Act, and that was before the Equality Act, and gave that piece of paper. So I suppose they will have to think how far those politicians intended that piece of paper to impact all these references to sex and women in the Equality Act.
Mm. And how long do you have to wait before you kind of know?
I don't know. It's a little bit, how long's a piece of string? I mean, we could have a ruling in January or February, but it could take a bit longer.
It seems so simple to me, though I'm just a simple guy without a certificate. And that is that empirical biological fact, you might as well walk out of the courtroom now. It's over.
Well, I think
right?
This is the problem, because I suppose it's a lesson that if politicians decide to legislate stupid things into law, how far can they go?
Well, I could legislate that the sky is now a different colour.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So,
but it's not.
I think that is something else that the judges are going to have to look at. You know, if Westminster or the Scottish government decided tomorrow that the Earth was flat, would we all have to agree to that? And I think the other point that Aidan made was that women's rights are are part of common law. And so if the government have created something that undermines those rights, that's actually not something that was lawful in the first instance. So there's so many bits to disentangle. And when people start trying to legislate for nonsense, it's going to create nonsense.
Yeah. The final question, just curious. This must cost money. How have you been able to afford? And this is not like a looking for a gotcha. I'm just curious. Obviously, you're being supported, you know.
Yeah, it cost a lot. Well, when we took our first judicial review and we won that, and we did get costs for that, we crowdfunded,
right?
And we got costs back, so we used some of those funds to carry over into this. But then we have had to crowdfund, and we've raised over 200,000. It was a lot of money, and it's been mainly small donations. We've had thousands and thousands of people contributing, which is amazing, but it's not the way you want to see justice and to see legislation made, because people can't afford to keep on challenging bad law. Politicians need to stop passing bad law, because it's costing us twice. It's costing us as taxpayers for the government to represent themselves, and it's costing us as people who've been trying to stump up the cash to fund it.
Well, we'll follow with fascination. Thank you for making a bit of time, your evening, our morning, from Scotland.
Pleasure.
And that is Susan Smith, Director of For Women Scotland. And maybe we can chat again when there are developments.
Yes, when we get the result.
Yeah, and then we'll send you a certificate. Like, you're a winner. All right, thanks for coming on, Susan. All the best.
Right. Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.